Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 22, Bali Maharaj surrenders his life, text number, beginning with 1, and then we'll go to 2. First I'll read 1. Sri Shukuvacha evam viprakrito rajan balira bhagavatashtara vidyamanopya vinatma pratyaha viklavam vacha. Shukadeva Goswami said, O King, although the Supreme Personality of Godhead was superficially seen to have acted mischievously towards Bali Maharaj, Bali Maharaj was fixed in his determination. Considering himself not to have fulfilled his promise, he spoke as follows. Sri Balir Uvacha Yad Uttama Shloka Bhavan Mamairitam Vacho Vyalikam Suravarya Manyate Karom Ritam Tanabhavet Pralambanam Padam Tritiyam Kuru Shirshni Menidam Sri Bali Ovacha. Bali Maharaj said, Yadi, if Uttama Shloka, O Supreme Lord, Bhavan, your good self, Mama, my, Iritam, promised, Vacha, words, Vyalikam, false, Suryavarya, O greatest of all Suryas, demigods, Manyate, you think so, Karomi, I shall make it, Ritam, truth, Tat, that, promise, Na, not, Bhavet, will become, Pralambanam, cheating, Padam, step, Tritiyam, the third, Kuru, just do it, Shirshni, on the head, Me, my, Nijam, your lotus feet. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Bali Maharaj said, O best personality of Godhead, most worshipable for all the demigods, if you think that my promise has become false, I shall certainly rectify matters to make it truthful. I cannot allow my promise to be false. Please therefore place your third lotus footstep on my head. Purport. Bali Maharaj could understand the pretense of Lord Vamanadeva, who had taken the side of the demigods and come before him as a beggar. Although the Lord's purpose was to cheat him, Bali Maharaj took pleasure in understanding how the Lord will cheat his devotee to glorify the devotee's position. It is said that God is good, and this is a fact. Whether he cheats or rewards, he is always good. Bali Maharaj therefore addressed him as Uttama Shloka, your lordship. He said, you are always praised with the best of selected verses. On behalf of the demigods, you disguise yourself to cheat me, saying that you wanted only 3 paces of land. But later you expanded your body to such an extent that with your 2 footsteps, you covered the entire universe. Because you were asking on behalf of your devotees, you do not regard this as cheating. Never mind, I cannot be considered a devotee. Nonetheless, because, although you are the husband of the goddess of fortune, you have come to me to beg. I must satisfy you to the best of my ability. So please do not think that I wanted to cheat you. I must fulfill my promise. I still have one possession, my body. You have to take my wealth, but still I have my body. When I place my body for your satisfaction, please put your third footstep on my head. Since the Lord had covered the entire universe with two steps, it might ask how Bali Maharaj's head could be sufficient for his third step. Bali Maharaj thought that the possessor of wealth must be greater than the possession. Therefore, although the Lord had taken all his possessions, the head of Bali Maharaj, the possessor, would provide adequate place for the Lord's third step. Namo Vishnu Vraya Krishna Pristaya Bhutai Sri Mate Bhakti Vranta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasatun Deve Gauravani Vacharne Nirvishesha Shunivari Paskatyade Sitarne. Here the glory of the Lord is being given. Here the word is pralamba, pralambanam. As we probably remember, there was a demon named Pralambasura, was the cheating demon. He was the one who disguised himself as a coward boy and carried Balaram on his back. But instead of doing a nice service for Balaram, he wanted to kill Balaram. Therefore, he was running away into the forest where he was planning to kill Balaram. But Balaram became so heavy that the demon had to reveal his actual form as Pralambasura. And then Balaram took his fist and hit him on the head and killed him. Cheating. Generally cheating, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Dutam Chalitam Chasmi Niti Asmi Jigishitam Jayasmi Vyavasayasmi Satvam Satvamitama Aham. That of all different types of cheating, I am the cheater. So that Krishna identifies himself as the supreme cheater, that no one can cheat more than Krishna can. Dutam chalitam asmi. Of all different methods of gambling or cheating, I am the essence of all that. And here Krishna displays his cheating propensity by appearing as a dwarf Brahmin before Bali Maharaj, asking for only three steps of land. Of course, Shukracharya had awareness that actually this boy who was appearing as a dwarf was Vishnu, and therefore Vishnu wouldn't appear as a dwarf asking for three steps of land. He must have had some other reason for doing so, otherwise he generally doesn't appear like that. He wouldn't take so much trouble. Therefore, Shukracharya wanted to stop Bali Maharaj from offering the three steps of land. Not because he had some higher spiritual reason for doing so, but because he was afraid he'd lose his income. He realized that generally Vishnu takes the side of the demigods, and that Shukracharya and his followers are all demons. Therefore, Bali Maharaj, Vamanadeva had come in order to cheat Bali Maharaj and take away his land, and therefore Shukracharya would also lose his income, which he was concerned about. He wasn't concerned about spiritual advancement, either for himself or his disciples. He was concerned simply with his mundane income coming from his disciple, Bali Maharaj. In any case, Bali Maharaj is more elevated than Shukracharya, and therefore he was willing to give his whatever he had to Vishnu. The fact is, Vishnu is actually ultimately the owner of everything. The only thing that we really possess is our causeless unwillingness to admit that Vishnu is the owner of everything. Our unwillingness to accept Krishna is the only thing that we think we have. But even that has no meaning because it's just illusion. Our denial of Krishna's supremacy. In any case, there must be someone glorious in this world, otherwise there would be no reason to having the Bhagavatam. Therefore, one who is able to give up this false conception of life, he becomes glorious, like Bali Maharaj. Especially if we have vast amounts of opulence beyond our understanding, our ability to conceive of. How much opulence Bali Maharaj must have had. We don't even know what's going on in Dallas. Or how much do we actually think we control within Dallas? What to speak on Gurley Street? We have hardly any control what goes on in Gurley Street. We have only limited control what goes on in this building. And yet Bali Maharaj had vast control over the entire universe. How much attached we become, even if we can control one building on this block, we'd think we were God. And if someone came to take away our building, we'd defend it like a tiger. We wouldn't be, and if they were successful at taking away our building, we'd lament like a Chikara bird in the absence of her mate. Therefore, to think that someone had the possession of the entire universe and that he willingly gave it away is quite inconceivable for our level of renunciation. If we can put a dollar and quarter into the basket, we're expecting millions back for our sacrifice. What to speak of giving away the whole universe and not demanding something immediately in return. So this is glorious. It can only be done if one is fully conscious of Krishna. Of course, here we find Bali Maharaj is giving away the entire universe, and Vamanadeva, or Trivikram at this point, in order to reciprocate with him, puts his foot on his head and then, well, I guess at this point, he's tied up in ropes because of his inability to fulfill his promise. Therefore, Vamanadeva had tied him up in ropes. And now he's offering for the third step his head. And later he's pushed down by that foot into Patala Loka. So it seems quite cruel. Here is a person willing to give this little boy whatever he wants. He's offering him everything he has. He gives him everything he has, including the whole universe. Then he gets pushed down and arrested. So this is quite... We may wonder about the character of Vamanadeva. But of course, then we find out that later on that Vamanadeva becomes the doorkeeper of Bali Maharaj and prevents any disturbance from entering into the planet, including when Ravana came to seek help against Ramachandra. At that time, Vamanadeva, after Ravana exited, then Vamanadeva took his foot and kicked Ravana some 800,000 yojanas and told him, don't come back. Because if we got kicked 800,000 yojanas, we'd be reluctant to come back also. Therefore, this pastime is especially conducive to understanding that the ultimate objective of life is not to get a universe or two. There are even religions who promise that if you act piously for some time, that eventually they may give you a universe to take over. And then, as you become more and more adept at handling your universe, then they offer you a couple of universes. And your multi-marketed endeavor to be a tier with a pyramid. It's a pyramid marketing. As you train up people to take over your universe and you become a supervisor of them, and this way you gradually take over more and more universes, and this is what you do forever, just kind of become more and more the head of the pyramid. So this is quite absurd, actually. What are you going to do as the head of a pyramid, taking care of a universe or two? Get all the bad news? Brahma got involved in the scandal. We don't know what to do. There's no one else in the universe who has four heads. But we're looking for some replacement. No, the whole idea is that ultimately we have to give up our material attachments and surrender to Vishnu. Even though we may be as opulent as Bali Maharaj, still we have to surrender whatever little we have. Although we think it's very significant, we can't imagine how we could possibly give it to anyone, including Vishnu. But ultimately that's the illusion that we have to overcome. The material illusion is that we are the possessors of so many things. And even if we can give that up, then we still think, I am this body. I have given all these things up. I have made the sacrifice. I have done so much. But actually, it is all part of an illusion, because neither were the body, nor were the doer. These things are enacted by the modes of material nature. Prakriti kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashaha ahankaravi mudatma kartaham iti manite. The bewildered soul, under the influence of the three modes, thinks himself to be the doer of his activities, which are actually carried out by the modes of nature. Or as Krishna says, prakriti purusham chaiva vidyanaru bhavapi vikaram shagunam chaiva vidipar prakriti sambhavan. That the material nature is said to be the cause of all activities and effects, whereas the living entity is the cause of the different sufferings and enjoyments in this world. Karya karana kartrive hetu prakriti uchite purusha sukadukanam bhoktrive hetu uchite. So the material nature is actually doing everything we're simply desiring. And because we sometimes, or usually, whatever, don't desire in terms of serving Krishna, therefore we suffer and enjoy the results of our ultimately desires, which are all arranged by the material energy. But when we give up the false idea of being the proprietor, of course, giving up the false idea of the proprietor, as Chandanika Pandit says, means that in the modes of nature, that at least we admit that we're not the proprietors or enjoyers. Therefore he says, Matrivat paradareshu, paradvayureshu lostravat, atmavat sarabhuteshu yakpashiti sapanditaha. That a learned person, one who's in the mode of goodness at least, who has some knowledge, he sees that actually everyone's property, except for his own, to be just like garbage in the street. I think I said yesterday, at the initiation also, this is the give and take philosophy. That you give to me and I take from you. But this is not spiritual philosophy. The spiritual philosophy is that whatever I have, whatever Krishna has given to me, I can use in his service. Everything else doesn't belong to me. And all ladies except for one's wife to be just like one's mother, all men except for one's husband to be just like one's son. And all living entities be spiritual beings, and therefore to be considerate of them just like we're considerate of ourselves in this world. As we wish no harm for ourselves, therefore we should not wish harm for others either. But beyond that is Bhoktaram Jagatapasam Sarva Loka Maheshwaram Suridam Sarva Bhutanam Gyatvamam Shantimrichati. That the sages who actually are elevated in consciousness, they see that not only things don't belong to us, but they recognize that everything belongs to Krishna. Not only other people's property, but even my own property, it's not my property, it's actually Krishna's property. And not only my wife, but every lady is actually meant for Krishna's enjoyment. Not that my wife is specifically meant for my enjoyment, but even my wife or my husband is meant for Krishna's enjoyment. And only by recognizing these things can I do good for myself or do good for others by becoming an instrument for Krishna. Instead of trying to fulfill desires arising out of the illusory energy, if I try to fulfill Krishna's desires, then that's for my benefit and for the benefit of others. I may apparently have to give up my own interest in this world, but actually I have no real interest in the world and except to get out of my material conceptions of life. If I get out of my material conceptions of life, my activities in this world are successful, and from the other perspective, no matter how successful I may appear to others, if I don't get out of the Bali concept of life, my life is a failure. If I don't recognize my relation with Krishna, whatever I'm doing is said to be defeated. Paravastava dabodha jato yavana jignasya atmatatvam yavana kriyastavati dhammanovai karmatmaka yena sharira bandaha. That one is said to be defeated by ignorance as long as one does not inquire about the nature of reality, about the nature of oneself as a spiritual being, and the nature of the Supreme Being, and how everything is related to Him. If I don't do that, then whatever I'm doing, my mind will become covered by my material intentions. And as long as my mind is covered, my consciousness will be unclear, and as long as my consciousness is unclear, I'll have to take one body after another. Evamana karma visham prayungte avidiyatman upadiyamane mayi pritirna yavan mayi vasudeve namuchante deha yogena tadva. That as long as we maintain our false conceptions of life, as long as we don't have to develop our love for Vasudeva, then we'll simply have to take one body after another. Maybe a demigod body, maybe a human body, maybe some other species of life, but we'll still have to suffer the inconveniences of living in material existence. Therefore, Bali Maharaj is a Mahajan, as Swayambhura, Narada, Shambhu, Prahlada, Janaka, Bhishma, Kumara, Kapilo, Manu, Prahlada, Janaka, Bhishma, Vayera, Vyasakir, Vailir, Vyasakir, Vayam. So Vailir, Bali Maharaj is an example of someone who has great material opulence, but still he recognized that all these things are insignificant compared to my relation with Krishna, and therefore is willing to sacrifice everything to please Krishna. This is our Mahajans. That's why they're Mahajans. They sacrifice their material conception of life ultimately to accept their relationship with Krishna and therefore begin their spiritual life rather than struggle in the material world to somehow or another become God. No one has become more of a God than Bali Maharaj. Maybe Hiranyakashipu was another person, but Bali Maharaj voluntarily surrendered his misconceptions to Vamanadeva when he had the opportunity. Hiranyakashipu, he was a little reluctant, but his misconceptions were torn away from him, literally. So we have a choice. Either our material misconceptions will be torn away from us, like Hiranyakashipu, if we maintain ourselves as his devotee, or if we accept examples like Bali Maharaj and follow him, Mahajano Yena Kata Sapanta, Dharmasya Tatvam Nihitam Guhayam, Mahajano Yena Kata Sapanta. If we accept the path of the Mahajans and voluntarily accept our relation with Krishna, then we can avoid all kinds of problems that arise from maintaining our misconceptions of existence. Therefore, the conclusion is that we should work seriously to fulfill Krishna's desires, of which spreading the Sankirtan movement is prominent in this age, and try to give up our misconceptions of misidentifying ourselves as either the controllers of some part of this universe, including our own body, or as potential enjoyers by making arrangements in this material world for our sense gratification. Or even as the ultimate benefactor or well-wisher of others, we should recognize that Krishna is the only benefactor and the only real well-wisher of others. Without serving Krishna's interests, neither we can benefit anyone, nor can we actually be really in the mood of being their well-wisher. If we want to become prominent in the lives of others, then it's a false conception. It's a false presentation. Only when we try to make Krishna prominent in the lives of others is our efforts actually meaningful. Balasya neha sharanam pitro nishinha nartasya chagadam uddhadvanti majito nao taptasya tat prati vidira ihanjishestras tad tanubritam tadvidov tanubritam tad upekshatanam. That if Krishna wants, well, Krishna doesn't desire, even though parents may try and take care of their child very nicely, but still the child will succumb to death. And even if Krishna does maintain the child, empowers the parents, maintain the child for some time, it's not that the child will remain alive forever. And even though the physician may have good medicine, but unless Krishna desires, then the patient will still succumb to death. And even if he doesn't succumb to death immediately, the medicine works. It's not that he's going to live forever either. And we may have a strong boat. It may take us across the water. But if Krishna desires, it'll sink like the Titanic. And even if it doesn't sink on the first voyage, eventually it'll sink anyhow. Therefore, we may take shelter of so many things in this world, but unless we take shelter of Krishna, our taking shelter of whatever will be seen to be in vain. The only real shelter is Krishna, and everything else is not a real shelter, but it's pralamba. It is a false shelter. Dharashaya ye bahi artamanina. Take shelter of these insignificant shelters means that ultimately we'll find ourselves without any shelter. We're all homeless, ultimately. If you have an application form and they ask you, where do you live? And you put homeless. It wouldn't be, in one sense, it's true. Everyone here is homeless. We only have some temporary shelters that ultimately prove to be false. Only the Vaikuntha planets and Goloka Vrindavan, that's our real home, and that's the real shelter, service to Krishna in those transcendental abodes. So we'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions?
How does the definition of surrendering to Krishna, it varies when we come initially to Krishna consciousness and then we progress? Then, it is just not a feeling that we have to surrender to Krishna. It is... How you practically surrender to Krishna?
Well, first of all, according to the, I forget what the scripture is, but it is said that anukulasya sankalpe pratikulyasya varjana rakshisya titi vishvaso goptrive sharanam tata varanam tata. That, first of all, we have to accept everything favorable for the execution of devotional service. Anukulyasya sankalpe, and then pratikulyasya varjana. Then we have to give up things which are obstacles on our path for progress. Then rakshisya titi vishvaso. Then we have to believe that Krishna will actually maintain us and protect us. Goprive varnam tata. Then we have to develop the attitude of humility and then have no interest outside of Krishna's interest. Atma sankalpe shadvida sharanagati. So we have to develop the understanding of our insignificance and how we have to become Krishna's instrument and not take credit for what we're doing, and at the same time have no interest outside of Krishna's interest. So these are different stages of advancement. Anything else? Sankalpa. Okay. Thank you very much. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaura Premanande Haribol.